This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like filling out basketball brackets. Too many choices, too much noise, and no one wants a busted budget. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break down real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Make smarter financial plays today. No luck required. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Of talking about the sport, and I say to myself, like, I don't really question if what they're saying is what they believe, and do they love the sport. I question those things about Kendrick Perkins, and I think he sucks.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGNZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, and Odyssey Sports Station, always live on the Free Odyssey app. I think you can feel that way, that's fine. I didn't really think about Kendrick Perkins at all in there. I get that was part of the conversation, but more so it was Charles going at the fact that, and he's going to be joining ESPN, which he's making fun of and light of the whole time, that ESPN was choosing to cover the Warriors and Lakers all the time, and that's what bothered him when he feels like we should be talking about, you know, the Oklahoma City Thunder, who have won a bunch in a row, five in a row to be exact, or the Cavaliers, who have won 12 in a row. Like, we should be talking about them more.
We did talk about the Cavs when they had Kyrie and LeBron and Kevin Love.
But should we be talking about them more this year as they are 52-10 in the number one seed?
How many times have I brought up the Cavs this week? You and me. I think I've referenced them three or four times.
I was going to say, a couple of times, maybe?
In terms of standings.
Standings. Again, right? That's the only time we bring them up.
I say, hey, they've won 10 in a row. Hey, they've won 12 in a row.
But we're not watching their games, really, though. We're not really watching them.
We are an event society.
Yes.
Right? That's what we've become, whether we like to admit it or not. Very few people are sitting here watching the Cleveland Cavaliers when they can barely name any of the players on their team. Now, is that more a product of society? Yeah, sure. But it's also on ESPN, which is broadcasting a ton of these games.
And TNT.
For not talking about them, and Kendrick Perkins, but also, what's he going to talk about? The things that hit the most, and we're going to get the most social media reactions. So it's a double-edged sword here.
Well, Charles is saying, like, oh, the last couple of weeks, you guys have all been talking about this. I was like, because the last couple of weeks, a month, I mean, who's the biggest story in sports right now?
The Luka trade is one of the biggest stories in sports.
It might be in sports history. And then add in Jimmy Butler to the Warriors, and all of a sudden the Warriors...
And the way it went down, Pat Riley, a legend of the game.
I understand what Charles is saying, because he wants to be again, you view him as a champion of the game, because... maybe
also just, an entertainer.
Yes, also an entertainer. He's
and
part
I would
of
say
that.
More entertainer than champion of the game at this point in his life, but that's fine. But I know what I'm getting from him.
Sure. But having said all that, like, are we going to listen to Charles Barkley and Shaq and Kenny talk about the 52-10 Cleveland Cavaliers for two full segments and saying, like, yeah, this team's really good? I mean, I guess we got to see it in the playoffs, though. How are they going to match up against the Celtics? They had a great comeback win. Like, I feel like there's only so much you can do of that. And the casual, again, this is what we're talking about here. ESPN, they're talking to the casual fans. Right? We're talking to Warriors fans. We're in San Francisco. We're talking to a certain audience of Warriors fans. We're the home of the Warriors. We have to be cognizant of what and who we are talking about. So that's why whenever we have a national story, Joe Shasky taking us behind the curtain, we have to tie it back to a Bay Area team. Miles Garrett asked for a trade, tie it to the Warriors, right? Jimmy Butler, Lauri Markkanen could be a trade piece. Tie it back to the Warriors. Paul George, tie it back to the Warriors, right? All of these things you tie back locally. Vlad Guerrero Jr., tie it to the Giants somehow. That's why, right, it's very difficult for the casual fan to not resonate with a non-national brand. Let's be honest. If LeBron wasn't there, the Cavs would never have been a brand. Like, let's just call it what it is. Cleveland, the Cleveland Cavaliers are not a brand. The Cleveland Browns are a brand. It might not be a great brand, but they're a brand. Football is different. And I understand we try to do this compare and contrast when it comes to the NFL and the NBA. Fact of the matter is, the NBA and NFL, when it comes to the product and promoting the product, I just don't see the NBA ever getting on the NFL's level again, because football as a sport has overtaken everything in society.
I think it's a bad comparison.
It is. It's not fair to the NBA, but I feel like we try to pigeonhole it, like Charles Barkley is saying, like, why can't we talk about the Cavs and Thunder? I was like, well, because... And you likened it as like, oh, the Minnesota Vikings, maybe we could talk about them. Yeah, because there's so many more layers that we could talk about. Sam Darnold, his journey. We're so good at talking about the different aspects. Brian Flores, what went down there, the drama there. And now he's becoming one of the best coordinators of sports. Could he get another head coaching job? Kevin O'Connell, should we be talking about him being coach of the year? One of the best. Obviously part of that Shanahan-McVay coaching tree, right? There's so many different layers off that. And I just don't think the Cavaliers and their win streaks and the Oklahoma City Thunder, like that stuff, it just doesn't resonate. It doesn't.
Okay, that is true. I agree it doesn't resonate. But also, look at the presentation. I use baseball as an example because the NFL is its own beast. When I tap into Fox for the World Series, they've got Jeter, who loves the game and is smiling. They got Poppy. They've got, you know, whoever.
A-Rod.
These people.
And Kevin Burkhardt is good too. He's very, very legitimate.
They're all smiling. And yeah. I don't feel this venom toward certain players, and I don't feel like an agenda. When I tune into ESPN, it's Bob Myers looking on left and right, and I love Bob, going, oh God, what is, like, what is Stephen A going to say? Number one. And then he looks on the other side, and it's Perk, and they both have an agenda.
And he has to be the voice of reason. Just, can we just talk about the game?
When was the last time you heard Perk talk about a half-court set?
I honestly don't even watch whatever it is called now on The Jump, formerly The Jump. What is it called? NBA and ESPN?
That's all.
But yeah.
You know why I love TNT's show? Like, you've got, obviously, Barkley, who we referenced in terms of entertainment. And I think Shaq kind of is a little bit of both. Kenny Smith will go to the monitor and teach you something.
Yeah.
Right? Like, that happens in every single show. And the banter and the chemistry and all that stuff is with it. But when I'm watching Kenny Smith, I don't think like, oh, here we go. Here we go again. Every time Perk opens his mouth, it's, oh, God, here we go again. Like, ESPN has only themselves to blame. When you shove Greeny down my throat and you shove Stephen A. down my throat and Kendrick Perkins, I don't get. Who is the executive that's like, we need more Kendrick Perkins?
Well, he's resonating with clicks is what that tells me, no matter what. And by the way, they're going to get more Stephen A. Smith everywhere because he signed, was an 8-year, $100 million deal with ESPN. So he's got nowhere to go. He might be your president, too.
It's 5 years.
5 years. Oh, wow. Excuse me. That's right. He might run for president and also be doing First Take the next morning. We'll see in the next presidential election.
Joe, I look at, it's in particular, Kendrick Perkins, I find to be one of the most insufferable people.
I understand. I thought the conversation was more so about just talking about the Lakers and Warriors ad nauseum. And I understand why the league's doing it. And because we can't get enough of Steph and LeBron still. And it's the league.
We talk about what people want to hear.
I don't want to hear about Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown and Derek White and Peyton Pritchard.
Here's an example.
The casual, it doesn't resonate with the casual. I'm sorry.
Well, it's not. Forget the casual. Just the normal.
It's hard to forget about the casual because that's baked into all of this.
It's the normal to me. It's the normal. Okay. Not the casual. It's the normal. Like, the diehard's always going to be watching no matter what, right? Because they're diehard. They're hooked. My brother, he's got three kids under 4 or 5 years old, okay? He goes to T-ball practice. He comes home from work. He's tired. He feeds all the boys. They go down to bed. He's got like a 45 to an hour and a half, you know, hour window to sit down and watch TV. He's flipping through the channels. If he doesn't recognize some of the guys on the screen, he's going to keep going.
Right.
Now, if it's a close game and it's late, this is what he's saying to me. He's talking about Cleveland because we actually brought up Cleveland. He was like, I can only name a couple players, like Donovan Mitchell. Like, I know him, and I think the kid from USC. You know what I mean?
Mobley.
Like, exactly, right? And so he's like, but like, are they real? I don't know. But if it's LeBron and it's a close game and it's the Lakers, it's like, yeah, I'm tuning in to root against him.
Yeah.
If it's Curry, it's like, I'm watching every Curry moment I possibly can. The Kyrie thing, like, he doesn't really love Kyrie, but he loves watching him, right? So there's a hook. And again, he is more like your normal fan than people want to admit. The diehards already bought in.
It's a great point, and I'm going to say this. There's no players in the NBA that garner really the stars I'm talking about, except for the old heads, as we're talking about, Steph, Jimmy, LeBron, Draymond, like, I don't have any emotional attachment to any of these guys one way or the other. Like, at least if you love someone, you'll love them, right? Steph's lovable everywhere. Or Like, I need more villains. People to hate. Like, that's, like, there is a place for that. Like, the Rasheed Wallace types, right? The bad boy guy. Like, that's why people tune in to watch Draymond. Oh, what is Draymond going to do? I hate that guy, but I'd love him if he was on my team. Like, I keep going to these teams. Like, Donovan Mitchell, it's a good player. Shea Gilgeous-Alexander, yeah, great player.
Actually, I really like rooting for him.
That's fine. But I don't think he garners really an emotional response, at least for me.
Well, he's newer. Like, but Dylan Brooks does.
He does.
And as mediocre as he might be as a player, like, I know a lot, but it's also through the Warrior prism. A lot of people like, oh, screw that guy. Oh,
and their head coach does too. Ime Udoka, I know he's going to be getting a little fiery. He's going to get after you.
Absolutely.
He's going to try to pick a fight or maybe potentially
The Bucks is a great example, Joe. I just know the Bucks don't really hit like that. Giannis does. But no one cares about Brooke Lopez.
No.
Bobby Portis.
And Doc Rivers, he's going to blow it, right? Like, that's what it turns into.
We're having a conversation.
And the Celtics brand is a little different because people either love or hate the Celtics.
Joe, we're having a conversation about the NBA, but I think it really resonates. Look at the San Francisco Giants.
Yeah.
They won 100 in however many games, and it didn't resonate with people. Okay, we as a media don't get to choose what the fans love. The face of the league, who you love, why you watch, the fans determine that, not us. And so we can help it in a way, but if I talk about Kelly Oubre every single day, even though he's like the second or third most important Warrior, if you're just not feeling Kelly Oubre, you're turning me off.
You know what I am a fan of? Not only the NBA, not only NFL, not only Major League Baseball, but the NHL. 60 seconds, Pellegrini. I'll shoehorn it in.
It's time for 60 seconds of Celebrini.
Celebrini exchanges. Shoot, star!
Where we recap all the great things Sharks phenom Macklin Celebrini did last night.
Wouldn't you know it, the number one overall draft pick, Macklin Celebrini.
Your 60 seconds of Celebrini starts now.
Yeah, guys, a lot of Sharks games this year have been really fun to watch. You know, they play hard, they play fast. You see the growth every now and then. It makes you feel really, really good about the future of this team, even when they fall short in these close games. Last night was not one of those games. You are not talking right now. Jesus. You are not talking right now. Stop talking.
Are you serious?
Last night was not one of those nights. The Sharks look like a team that has not played a home game in over a month, losing 7-3 to the Colorado Avalanche last night. But Macklin Celebrini was not going to go down quietly, though, getting this over-the-shoulder goal in the third period. Here's how it sounded.
Blocker save made by Blackwood. Macklin plays it all the way across. Celebrini scores! Roots it top corner.
That is Macklin blowing through the rookie wall last night on ESPN. He's fighting through it. You can see the fatigue surface at times, but he keeps finding that extra gear to tap into, and that is why you feel good about this team, regardless of the records, all because of Celebrini. Today is the NHL trade deadline. Will the Sharks make any more moves? Vitek Vanacek, Nico Strum, they were sent to the Panthers. Jake Walman, he was sent to Edmonton for a 2026 first-rounder. Sharks back at home tomorrow night against the Islanders, and that is your 60 seconds of Celebrini.
Great job, Sam. I loved it. NHL trade deadline. Your thoughts, Joe Shasky. What's going to go down today? Is Sidney Crosby or Alexander Ovechkin going to get traded? That's the two biggest names I know in hockey. Connor McDavid, right? And Macklin Celebrini will be on his way to being one of those names. Bet your bottom dollar, baby. Shout out Annie. Let's come over. The game is brought to you by MB Jesse Painting. We were talking about the Lakers. We were talking about the Warriors. Well, we were talking about Stephen A. Smith, and he went at it with LeBron James after the game yesterday. You're not going to want to miss this. He had a response on First Take in regards to one LBJ.
I want to get back into Steph.
We'll get back into Steph. And your belief level in this Golden State Warriors team as we wrap it up and hand it off, by the way, to not Steiny and Guru today. No. It's Bonte and Guru at the top of the hour. You're not going to miss that.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Morning Roast with Joe Spadoni.
You're weak, you're out of control, and you become an embarrassment to yourself and everybody else.
And Joe Shasky on 95.7 The Game.
That scene is an all-timer. It's the intervention of one Chrissy Moltisanti in The Sopranos, one of the all-time television dramas of our time, I should say. And I always think about it. Because as a fan, we go through some interventions. We do. We have to come to a realization sometimes. And I think Warriors fans were coming to the realization maybe a month or so ago that, man, maybe this thing is over with Steph Curry. It sure felt like that. The way that the season was heading, you were mired in mediocrity. There was a crisis of confidence. No one was confident in this team. The players didn't look confident, the fan base. And you felt it, and you felt that energy at Chase Center. Now it's totally flipped. You're feeling the energy shift, not at Chase, not only at Chase, I should say, as the Warriors are going to start a 7-game homestand tomorrow, but you're seeing it on the road. You're hearing the MVP chants. You're listening to the opposing announcers do this.
Butler bounces Curry. Oh.
Ian Eagle on Yes Network for the Brooklyn Nets feed, but even he's having fun talking about a player like this, and obviously you would too, because if you had to talk about D'Angelo Russell and the mess of a game he had yesterday, I'd be a little bored and sad about talking about that as well. By the way, the D'Angelo Russell thing, it's still crazy to me that they were able to flip D'Angelo Russell, Joe Shasky. They were able to flip him for Andrew Wiggins. Talk about one of the heists of the century. That one felt like it in hindsight. And then you flip Andrew Wiggins for Jimmy Butler now. So now that I'm thinking about it, there was kind of some poetry last night. And you were linked to a guy like Cam Johnson who's on the Nets. You have already traded for and traded away a guy like a D'Angelo Russell. And it's come full circle. You got Jimmy Butler now. Look at that.
Jimmy's just so much better than Andrew Wiggins for what this team needs right now in terms of unlocking all of the young guys.
And D'Angelo Russell. What's that? And D'Angelo Russell.
Well, D'Angelo Russell stinks. I mean, that's the reason why he's been on 1,000 teams. I mean, he's just...
Well, that was a sneaky trade for the Lakers, too, getting Dorian Finney-Smith for them, and he's been a huge piece for them in this late run. Just,
he's not good. And they kept isolating him on Jimmy Butler.
Yep.
And they kept getting the switches, and Draymond kept feeding him, and it was really good, you know, IQ basketball. The second quarter was the key for me. You're down 20-something points, and Steph Curry checks out of the game, and here comes Jimmy Butler and Draymond Green and a bunch of the random guys, and they went methodically down the floor and just kept trying to get the matchup that they were looking for. For years, teams had been kind of picking on the Warriors in terms of matchups in the half court. And now they go to Jimmy Butler underneath. They get foul trouble. They start commanding the double team. That gets the kickouts. You get a Moses Moody three. You get a Quentin Post three. A timeout. Let's go back down to the block if you're not going to send down the double team. And it just opened everything up. And so when I look at the Warriors right now and like the Jimmy Butler thing, it's not about scoring. It's about balancing the floor for them. And then all of the intangible stuff. He had a couple of key strips late in the fourth quarter. And what he does in terms of allowing them to get to the free throw line by setting the tone, it's changed the whistle for them, like categorically.
Well, speaking of that, he had 10 free throw attempts. And here's my little stat. He became the first Warriors player besides Steph to make at least 10 free throws without a miss. Since Jordan Poole, remember Jordan Poole, when he got the line, he damn near always made it. They had him, you had Steph, you had Clay. Those guys, when they got the line, they would hit their shots. And the Warriors improved to 10-1 in games that Jimmy Butler III plays in. 10-1 when Jimmy plays. And they're going to keep it going, man. Talking about this homestand coming up, Joe Shasky, 7 games here. Does anything less, and it starts tomorrow, 5:30, Detroit Pistons in town, Warriors live coverage starting at 4:30, tip off at 5:30, right here on 95.7 The Game. We'll have all of that. Anything less than 5-2? Feel like it's like disappointing at this?
Just,
this is crazy.
Going one game at a time right now.
I'm asking you to project the 7 games right here.
Well, I don't know how many are Steph, Dre, and Jimmy going to sit. You know, like, I'm assuming there'll be a calculated sit at
some point.
There's
only one back-to-back in this schedule for the Golden State Warriors. There's going to be Tuesday, March 18th is the back end of back-to-back. You got the Nuggets on that Monday and then the Bucks on that Tuesday. So that's in 2 weeks' time. That's the only back-to-back you have on this homestand.
The Bucks game doesn't feel as important as the Clippers game, right?
As the Nuggets one?
Nuggets
game. Yeah, no, not even close.
Yeah, so I think, and more so, not necessarily that you have to win the Nugget game. I want to see what you look like at full strength against them. Like, to me, that's a slight preview of what a playoff matchup might look like. Not that you're going to throw the kitchen sink at them. You don't want them to see all your little tricks, but I just want to see where they stack up. And if they were to beat them, that would probably be the best win as of now on their schedule.
Again, if the season ended right now, the Warriors are the sixth seed at 35-28. They would be facing the Denver Nuggets at 40-22. 888-957-9570. You can call in. What are you expecting from this road trip? Homestand, not road trip. This homestand, 7 games. Is anything less than 5-2, 6-1? You going greedy, 7-0? That seems a little strong. Because, again, as we saw without Jimmy Butler, if you miss one of these players,
4-3 would be great. But, like, 5-2 would be chef's kiss.
See, 4-3, I feel like it'd be a little underwhelming. And that 3 losses at home?
I mean, Joe, they're what are they, 10-1 right now with Jimmy Butler in the lineup?
I'm looking at the schedule. Pistons tomorrow. Okay, tough team. But they're
on fire right now.
The Blazers.
And also, the thing that the Warriors don't do very well is they're athletic.
Yes, they are. But, again, we've been talking about a lot of athletic and younger teams. I think... the Knicks, I think they're a bigger, and I think they do have some athleticism. They play hard and physical. I thought the Nets were actually athletic yesterday, but they don't have a big man in the center. And I think Quentin Post and Jimmy Butler
shooting really well.
They were shooting very well from beyond the arc. Yes, Pistons, Blazers. Feel like you should beat those teams. It feels like you should that. Kings after that, we'll see. They've been playing
Kings
well.
Kings are much better today than they were that first game out of the break.
But I feel like you should win that game. The Knicks, they're not going to have Jalen Brunson. I'm just calling out. They're not going to have Jalen Brunson.
Yeah,
you should win that game.
He'll probably be out 3 or 4 weeks.
So I have 4-0 right there.
Well, wait a minute. Like, they didn't have Karl Anthony Towns in the last game, and then went right down to the end. So I'm not going to dismiss them just because Jalen Brunson's out.
Playing the game. I'm calling it 4-0.
Okay.
Then you get to the fifth game. The Nuggets. Think you're going to take an L there. But it could be close. Like you said, if you take the L there, it's not the worst thing in the world. But you would like to beat one of these elite teams that you could be potentially facing in the first round as far as the mentals go. Then you got the Bucks on the back end of a back-to-back. And let's say you win that one. You've had your good luck against the Bucks as of late. Maybe Giannis doesn't play in that one. Maybe potentially, or a Dame. We'll see. And then you got the Raptors, Drew Stake, who did the Raptors beat you though early in the season?
It was one of the worst losses of the year.
So again, but a different team. I'm not. Yeah. It's completely different. So you got the Raptors
that
there.
Was such a wrap bad it up loss. There.
So I'm saying, God. I'm saying 6-1. 6-1. I think is the goal on this homestand. You're going to say that seems a little strong.
If they go 6-1, that means they would be 17-3 since the Jimmy Butler acquisition.
17 or 16? Yes, since the Jimmy Butler acquisition,
and that's an incredible mark.
Yes, be crazy, right?
I mean, that would be their best, month chunk.
Well,
2 month chunk since the 18-2
start. Well, not seven. It'd be 16, right? Because they have 10 wins right now.
16-3.
So 16. You said 17. 16-3. Okay. Yeah. That would be it since they've acquired
Duke. That's incredible.
It's crazy.
Well, that's first seed, second seed in any conference, any year type of a clip.
Right, but looking at this season, Nuggets 40-22, Lakers 40-21, Thunder 51-11, all these teams feel like they're probably hard to catch.
No, I'm not saying they're hard to catch. I'm saying that body of work
in the previous years
over an 82-game schedule would mean that you're one of the upper echelon seeds.
Correct.
That's how representative.
That's how they would be
pacing.
And
that's a quarter of the season.
And that's why you're so excited again.
A fifth of the season.
We're all talking about this season. I think you should be all in on this season if you're a Warriors fan, because you never know what's going to happen next year. You never know what's going to happen in the offseason. Things have a weird way of shaking out sometimes. And we know that firsthand with Klay Thompson, obviously, just in his recovery process. And sometimes things can go haywire. So I think you got to strike while the iron is hot. And this season, although it sounds insane because they've only been playing together a month now, maybe this is your best opportunity to go on a run here and get to the Western Conference Finals, and maybe even the NBA Finals, more so the next year. I know it sounds crazy. This might be it.
Is Kuminga going to come back on this trip, this homestand?
You think so? No setback for Jonathan Kuminga. This was Steve Kerr 2 days ago on with Willard and Dibbs. The injury, though, it was a little more severe than I think a lot of people initially thought.
No setback. It's just the injury itself was, I think, more serious, than anybody realized, and some of these things you just can't predict. I mean, that's one of the things I've learned during my time as coach working with Rick and the performance staff. There's no exact recipe for these injuries, and everybody heals differently. And I think as it's turned out, JK's injury was, more of a setback than we realized in the beginning. And he's working hard. He's working every day. He had a really good workout today. And it does feel like he's getting close, but, you just got to do the right thing, and that's what we're all trying to do.
The thing that has anyone seen him? Any of the media seen him actually working out?
I think they've scrimmaging at times, maybe shoot around.
I don't know.
Yeah, we'd have to ask Anthony Slater. Like, we'll have him on next
cutting?
Week.
Is he running up and down? Like that's
all
what
we
want to see.
All we've heard
like.
Is that he's had heavy ice in the locker room on his knee.
I mean, Draymond has heavy ice on both knees every game.
Okay, but Draymond Green's 35 years old, so that's comes from
territory. I hear you, but like that's.
I know it's part of the recovery process, but it's concerning. Again, whenever Steph is taped up with a bunch of ice packs around his ankle, I get concerned sometimes too. But that's all I'm saying. That no one really knows what we're going to expect from Jonathan Kuminga here, and there is fear in that. You right? There's fear in the unknown. Shout out Elsa into the unknown. I don't know if you and LJ are on Frozen 2 yet.
No,
you'll get there.
No.
But
right
there,
now
there
he's
fear.
Just obsessed with watching basketball on television.
There was more fear in the unknown a month ago. Now there's more like. I'm kind of excited about where we can go if I'm a Golden State Warriors fan right now. There's excitement brewing with this team right now, and I don't know where it ends, Joe Shasky, and I don't know where it begins here for the Warriors, whether it's a play-in, whether it's a series, but this 7-game homestand for me is going to tell me a lot about the expectations going forward and whether they are, again, for real is strong, because I think the body of work speaks for itself and just the level of play feels better. But if they could get Jonathan Kuminga halfway through this trip, and I could see him against the Nuggets, to your point, that would be huge. How does he look against a team I might face in the first round would be massive.
Well, they've won games in a variety of ways since Jimmy got here. They've blown teams out. They've been down big. They've fought back. They've had multiple fourth quarter, games where they've held on to a lead, where they've been chasing a lead. They've traded points in games. So the one thing that I'm looking at, forget the schedule coming forward. What have they done already? And to me, what they've done already is they've won in a variety of ways. They've won where Steph has been excellent
and carried them. They've been, Steph's been a little like, you know, spotty in some of these fourth quarters. They've won where Draymond has actually been a more of a force in the half court. They've won where some of the others have had to help them out. Quentin Post, Moses Moody down the stretch, Pajemski down the stretch, hitting big shots. They've won on the road. They've won some games at home. There just hasn't been the opponents that I think that people would say, oh, they've beaten five, you know, hang your hat on it. They're playoff level opponents. That's kind of the only thing that they're missing from the resume of what we've seen so far from Jimmy Butler.
I guess where I'm a little stumped here, if you're, you know, skeptical about this team going forward, and I guess that'd be the only thing is the teams you've played in the competition. That's fair. But if it's an actual tangible thing you've seen in game, like, is there anything outside of the inconsistencies of Buddy Hield? And again, they're winning even with those inconsistencies, so I'm really not that stressed about that. Like, I like to go to the report card, Joe Shasky. You like to do the pie chart. I like to do a report card sometimes.
What's the report card?
Like, let's just go through, since the Jimmy Butler acquisition, I'm just going to start naming
it's
some
an
of the,
A+. It's like,
but I'm just going to give
honor
you
honor roll. They're an honor roll student.
Just not the team, but some of the players.
Okay. Like, Pajemski's been an A.
Draymond Green.
An A+.
Jimmy Butler.
I would say B+.
Okay.
I do think
they have a high standard with Jimmy.
Well, no, and I also just think that, like, he hasn't really found his offensive footing consistently. In terms of scoring.
Stephen Curry, what would you say?
Oh, he's been an A.
Moses Moody.
B+, A-.
Okay.
He's had a couple bad games.
I'd say B. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's definitely above average.
Definitely Pajemski's been, and Moody have been much better since the Butler acquisition.
Brandon Pajemski.
Yeah, I think about an A-.
Okay. Guy Santos.
I'd say B. Solid B.
Quentin Post.
Quentin Post's been good. B+, A-.
All right. Buddy Hield. Don't say F. That was. I saw you mouth it,
it's
Carter.
It's an F.
It's not an F.
There's nothing to think about. It's an F.
It's a D minus.
He's had a couple moments though.
It's a D minus.
Last night was an F minus
zero.
Minus.
I mean,
minus.
He scored 0 points last night.
He had an assist.
He played 22 minutes. And like, how he's going to contribute is via scoring. Like, this is kind of like, you know, what do you hang your hat on? Like, Buddy ain't hanging his hat on, you know, point of attack defense and rebounding.
Real quick, we'll get back to the report card here.
I
don't mean to steal your segment, Mark Grady, because he does have the Grady report card after all the Niners games. But Steve Kerr was talking with Willard and Dibs, Joe Shasky, and said that Buddy Hield is one of Steph's favorite teammates ever.
Steph told me he's one of his favorite teammates of all time. Buddy is that just the joy that he brings, the laughter, the upbeat nature, regardless of how things are going, whether he's making shots or missing shots, he's always in a good mood, and that stuff is crucial in a long season in the locker room. You need guys like that, and so everybody loves Buddy. He's just a wonderful, wonderful person.
So you watch your mouth when you say F for the report card. Actually, that bumps him up. He's passing now. That's a C. For the report card post
that answer about, you know, Buddy's one of his favorite teammates of all time.
Is that surprising to you a little bit?
I mean, that's like me saying Sam Lubman's one of the greatest producers of all time.
No, stop. He's your producer and he is one of your best producers. And I have your back, Sam Lubman, because the guy works very hard.
No, you know what it's equivalent to? It's when you talk to your wife, right? And, you're breaking things down and someone, some random person will come up and be like, she's cute. And you're like, no, she's not. Oh. Like, you're talking yourself into that one.
Oh, well, no. Well, they're testing you first and foremost, saying,
well, that's
wow,
a different story.
Don't you think this person's really cute?
No,
you're supposed to be like,
not as much as you, babe.
Yeah, it's just like, you're supposed to do that
you
because
guys
if
are
you,
grizzled vets.
If you do
when
say
you're 15
yes.
years in the game, random people will come up and they'll be like, she's cute. And they do the head nod, right? And you're like,
you're talking yourself
no.
into it. Well, like with a baby, like an
she's
ugly
got
baby.
A great personality.
Yeah, really big personality, right? Totally. All right, so we're all on Buddy Hield. We'll all give him a C. Okay.
Buddy right now is that friend that you know. Like, it's just, if I go hang out with that guy, I might not be home for a couple days. It's not going good, and I'm going to be in a lot of trouble afterwards.
Right now, he's Turtle from Entourage. He can promote himself to E at some point, but he's Turtle right now. It's okay.
Turtle, there's no way in real life Turtle gets the girl that he got.
Well, when you're famous and you're hanging out with Vinny Chase, you can get anything you want.
It's not going to happen.
He was Aquaman, Joe Shasky. Gary Payton II.
He was Aquaman. What was it, Medellin? What was the name of the movie?
Medellin. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. What was the Billy something was the director. I remember that. Yeah. He was like some cokehead or whatever.
Entourage had a moment in time.
It did have a great moment, and then the moment's passed. You can't make that show anymore.
Johnny Drama is still an all-time character.
Kevin Dillon, great actor.
Yeah. In an alternate universe, I feel like Guru would be the Johnny Drama of this station.
Who's Vince?
Vinny Chase?
Bonte, probably.
Yeah, probably.
Probably Bonte. Yeah.
Who's E? Are you E?
No. No, E would be...
Steiny.
No. Steiny is one of like the disgruntled agents or something.
Well, what's his face is definitely Nahegan.
Oh, Ari Gold?
100%.
Wow.
100%.
I don't know if Nahegan
Jesse,
would like that.
You got some E-ness to you. If Bonte is Vinny, it kind
of
makes sense.
Combination of both of you, because you got the red hair like he had, true. And then the Joe Shasky. There you go. Gary Payton II. Combo.
Who's Lloyd? Is that Lucas?
Yes. Well, well, Nahegan's actually, Ari.
Fire phones.
Yes.
That is a good phones at him. Dude, he's, gosh.
The racial tropes and things he would say to Lloyd, it's outrageous. He would literally say he was going to deport him off the top.
His relationship
can't make
with
that
wife,
show anymore.
His relationship with his wife is the most relatable one outside of maybe The Sopranos.
Yeah, I'm not going to touch that one. Gary Payton II, Joe Shasky. What's his report card looking like?
He's been awesome on this road trip. I'm going to give him an A-.
Okay, he actually has
Gary
been really
Payton
good.
Has been awesome.
Well, he might get an A+ because he joined us on the show this morning. I'm going to give him an A+. Why not? I'm feeling good on a Friday. You have the minus have to, there, and then you put the cross.
In a playoff matchup, to stay on the floor, he will have to hit some threes.
Yes.
So, like, that's the one thing. Like, I think when we look at, like,
for two last
when you
night.
Play random teams every night, they're not scouting you as deep as they are during a 7-game series. And in a 7-game series, they're going to leave you wide open.
Okay. I think I got Looney. He hasn't really played enough for me to give him a...
up and down. If we're being real, and I love Loon, but, like, he's missed so many shots around the rim.
And Trayce Jackson-Davis, I'm just going to give him what everything else has been for him. It's a DNP.
100%.
He's a DNP right now. I can't give him a grade. He's incomplete. I don't know. Steve Kerr.
The only net negatives on the team right now, really, like, honestly, it's like, because you're not even playing them, so it's not his fault, but Trayce, right, obviously, and Buddy Hield.
Exactly.
Like, but that's how good things are going right now.
And you're winning with Buddy Hield playing like that. So again,
It's gravy.
Steve Kerr.
I would also say that the coaching staff's been excellent. A-.
Thank you.
You know, A-. They've been excellent. Rotations have been excellent. Look, there's a couple here and there. I think their out-of-bound plays have been excellent. What I like the most is the adjustment on offense to run things that have Jimmy Butler at the block.
Right.
That has been such a good wrinkle. And I really like that, like, Jimmy and Draymond, they found a little magic. And on the non-Steph minutes in those second quarters, they go to that lineup. And it's really working. It's really empowering Draymond's floor game and Jimmy Butler.
Terry Stotts has been a hell of an addition for this team, I feel like. I see him a lot out there talking to the players, guiding them. He's always with Steve Kerr. We've talked to Terry Stotts on this station. And again, I understand where it's just like, what is an assistant coach? How does he make up a lot of things? Because we always talk about Ron Adams being that defensive guru, right? And he was the architect of changing everything and making it a true two-way team. And he gets credit for that and the improvement for a lot of defense, even to make Steph a respectable defender at times, right? And to make Klay Thompson being one of the best two-way players in the game. Kevin Durant, when he came over here, changed his defensive outlook, right? All of that. But Andrew Wiggins, that's a prime example, right? So coaching matters in all this. And I think they put a great cast around him. And I think Steve Kerr has done a really good job, and Bob Myers there and Mike Dunleavy, of putting a great supporting cast around him on any of these runs. You think back to Mike Brown being there for so long. You think of Kenny Atkinson.
Yeah.
Right? Look what Kenny Atkinson's doing in his first year as head coach with the Cleveland Cavaliers.
He might be coach of the
year. No, he is the coach of the year. It's not even close, right? It's Kenny Atkinson.
Well, I mean, Oklahoma City. I mean,
Dagnall, I don't think. Well, because they already made a run last year.
I'm just going off of this year.
Kenny's a heavy favorite.
Yeah, Kenny's a super
heavy.
I think
heavy.
The only other one you could honestly put is, because the Detroit Pistons have been a laughing stock last decade, J.B. Bickerstaff, who obviously was with Cleveland,
that's a good
right?
Point, actually.
So it's kind of like I might go in.
It
and
just seems to me that that's how we do the coach of the year in any sport. It's like, who did we think was going to suck this
that's
year?
That's always how it is. Let's come back.
So unfair.
That's the comeback player of the year, right? This guy was injured, and this guy wasn't very good last year. Let's give it to him.
I mean, it takes you know, if you're a part of a good team, it just takes you right off the board.
Who was it, Carter? Was it you who put heavy money on Moses Moody being comeback player of the year this year?
Yeah, it was. He didn't get the minutes.
Well, hold on. Didn't Steve Kerr win coach of the year the 73-win season?
Did he?
Or is the year before? Like, the year where, like, Luke Walton did, like, all of the coaching, or half the coaching.
Let me look. I'm pulling up his Wikipedia right now. He's definitely won coach of the year once, right? I'm looking it up. Yeah, 2016, Sam Lubman on the dot. Look at that.
So we should just give it to Luke?
I mean,
retroactively.
Well, part of like, I mean, he did have the biggest, one of the biggest winning streaks in the history of the NBA. Luke Walton.
Draymond cited Luke Walton telling him to shoot that thing was what changed that season for him. Go back and look. What did he average? 15 a game, Draymond, that year.
It's about right. He was chugging. Hey, you remember that game 7? I mean, he was the guy that was scoring left and right.
Yeah, like 5 or 6
now,
threes at halftime.
Now, he was the reason that they were, you know, in that position, but we're not going to get into that.
There was a variety of reasons. Well, he got hurt. Boga got hurt. Draymond DDT'd Michael Beasley in the Houston round when Steph slipped on water.
Michael Beasley. I haven't thought about Michael Beasley forever. Oh, my God.
Oh, dude, it was the end of the game. The game was over, and he just, like, DDT'd him in the middle of the floor. And then he kicked Steven Adams in the groin.
Oh, my God.
And then LeBron baited him into that whole thing.
Of course. And they're best friends now.
And then cried to Kiki Vandeweghe.
And they're best friends now, LeBron.
They're not really.
No, they kind of are. You want to think they're not. You want to believe. Like,
did LeBron fly across country to go meet them in New York for his birthday? Then they're not best friends.
Well, Draymond, I think, flew to wherever LeBron was for his 40th. That's a fact. Did you see, dude, when Zaire Williams yesterday and Gary Payton were going a little tussle yesterday, Draymond like was skipping out. Do you see him skipping out onto the floor with his hoodie and knee pads on? Like, Draymond, what are you doing, dude?
I don't know what anyone was doing.
You don't need to get out there. So let's put a ball in this report card. So you're giving the coaching staff an A. Mike Dunleavy. What are you giving him?
A++.
The highest grade?
I really think he had to talk this team into this move.
Really?
I do. I think there was a little
trepidation,
risk. They were very risk adverse. Okay. I think they were afraid of making the wrong, which I get. They were afraid of making the wrong decision, and I also think they really liked Andrew Wiggins, and they knew that like any move that you give him up in, you better be getting a for sure, no doubt about it, difference maker. And I bet there were a lot of questions upon acquiring Jimmy Butler. Were you going to give him a contract? Would he play nice? Is he in a good headspace? Where's he at physically? What does it look like on the court? Like, that's 5 things off the top of my head. I'm sure there are 10 others you could have come up with that any one of them could have been a red flag or a non-negotiable for Steph or Lakeup or Kerr or whatever.
A month later, and this is what we're talking about with the report card. It's straight A's everywhere, basically. You know, Buddy Hield.
Close to it.
The curve might be dropping a little bit because of Buddy Hield. He gets the C. Again, I'm being generous there at the C. He's passing. All right. This is like an AAU thing or like a, you know, the high school. He's got to play. We'll give him
the
C.
Field. 0-for-5 from 3. 0 free throw attempts.
Oh,
1 rebound. Oh. 1 assist. 2 turnovers. Minus 11. 23 minutes.
Is it worse having the 1 assist and 1 rebound other than like 0-0-0 across the board? The 1 feels like it's even worse sometimes. Doesn't it?
So
I love... Hey! What is Steph's all-time teammates? Buddy Hield. So you know what?
Sentence.
He's already...
Not Mo Spates, not Jared Jack, not Carl Landry, not Clay.
No, not Kevin Durant, not some of the all-time players, Andre Iguodala.
Well, I'm some of the glorified role players that people loved. Not Sean Livingston, not Iggy, not Zaza. It's Buddy Hield.
We ain't here talking about practice. We ain't here talking about Buddy Hield. Not a game. Not a game that I love. We're talking about Buddy Hield.
I would have believed him saying Monte Ellis was one of his favorite players to play with more than Buddy Hield.
There was a stat. Oh, God. There's a Monte Ellis, LeBron James stat that Evan just
playing with Corey Maggette more than I liked playing with anyone.
No, that's what it was. It was the last teammates that were like brand new or something, or in their first 10 games on back-to-back days. Back-to-back games had 30 points and 5 assists and 5-plus rebounds on back-to-back games. It was LeBron and Luka, and then prior to that, it was Monte Ellis and Corey Maggette.
Wow.
Like, that's insane, right? Absolutely insane.
I love the segment. It's called Google This. Google Corey Maggette travels 7 times, then fouls someone. It's one of the greatest highlights in Warrior history. It's really a low light. I bet it's got millions of views. I'm going to actually Google it right now. He literally traveled and changed his pivot foot 7 times, turned it over, and then just karate chopped someone for a foul.
He had a respectable career, Corey Maggette. 16 points. He averaged 16, 5, and 2. That's pretty good for a career.
Those biceps, college. Though.
I mean, come on. Guy's got guns. The gun show. Let's see. Do we want to get into this? We got a couple more minutes. Why not? So, for those of you who are under a rock and not watching, ESPN.
Corey Maggette travels 6 times in 1 play.
Real quick.
6 times.
Yes.
It's all over the internet.
He did a lot of times.
How many millions of views?
How many times has LeBron James traveled, though? That's what I want to know.
I mean, every single time that he goes to the lane, he gets to extra crab dribble. Well, 1.6 million views on Corey McGrady travels 6 times in one play.
You done with Corey McGrady? You over? Is that, are you good? You
feel better? Warrior legend, okay. Number 50, Corey McGrady.
You feel better?
I do.
All right. You're going to feel great about this. Stephen A. Smith and LeBron James going at it last night. Maybe that's a little strong. But after the game was over, Stephen A. was courtside, obviously a big Knicks fan. Lakers playing the Knicks in La La Land. LeBron James walks off the court and has some words with Stephen A. Smith. Very stern, not buddy-buddy. They're not dapping each other up. And LeBron James says what he needs to say and then walks away. Here's what Stephen A. had to say this morning in regards to what the conversation was and what his reaction was to it.
That wasn't a basketball player confronting me. That was a parent. That was a father. And I can't sit here and be angry or feel slighted by LeBron James in any way in that regard. By all accounts, he's obviously a wonderful family man and a wonderful father who cares very, very deeply about his son. And based on some of the comments that he had heard, or shall I say, I think he thought he heard, he clearly took exception to some of the things that he heard me say, and he confronted me about it. For the record, his agent and friend, Rich Paul, has my number. Maverick Carter, who works under him, has my number. LeBron James knows how to get in contact with me if he wanted to. He never called, because had he called and wanted to talk to me, I would have accepted that call. Had he wanted to see me, I would have flown out and I would have seen him and I would have had a conversation man to man. But that is not what he elected to do. Instead, he elected to confront me while I was sitting courtside. Ari Emanuel, the head of William Morris Endeavor, one of the agencies that represents me, along with Larry David, was sitting courtside. I was with them for the game. And he walked right up to me and he said what he had to say. Apparently he feels like I was slighting his son.
So just name drop that Larry David there and amongst others. So Stephen A. said LeBron James came to him as a father, first and foremost. And by the way, I just love the, you know, I got to talk like this. Like, I got to put my serious voice on because I do a character most of the time. So this is me being actually serious, Stephen A. Smith.
Someone actually held Stephen A. accountable and he feels a little slighted.
I mean,
look, newsflash.
Was he in bounds?
As I've learned, things that you say can get you in trouble.
Was LeBron in bounds for doing that? For going
out? I
don't
think he did anything wrong.
Okay.
What did he do? He went over and talked to him.
Stephen A's talking about Bronny, the basketball player, and maybe not feeling like
Stephen
he should have had
a career talking about LeBron James every single day for 20 years.
I get it. I understand.
Yeah.
This is part of the territory, and I actually feel bad in all of this for Bronny that he's being part, because like, that's the last thing you want is to have your dad go up speaking on your behalf to one of the largest media mogul. Yeah. Like, that's part of me. Like, if I'm like, again, the views, everything's baked into it. Bronny knows this lifestyle. He's been born and bred into this lifestyle his entire life. So he understands the camera aspect, the media, all of that. He's watched his dad get ripped for his entire career by Skip Bayless. This isn't anything new to him. Obviously, I just kind of, he's in a rock and a hard place in all this. And I feel some type of way for Bronny and all this, not so much for Stephen A. And I get you're a parent now, Joe Shasky. You want to stick up for your son no matter what. But I do think there's a time and place for everything.
Oh, he could have done it away from the cameras.
I think he made sure he did it in front of the cameras. And I don't know if that was the best move to do if you're trying to protect your son and all that. That's it. That's all I'm saying.
Well, I think the son aspect is to the side. There's clearly some bitterness between the two of them for whatever reasons. I would understand from, but this is where LeBron, like, you giveth and you taketh. LeBron, you've fed into the ESPN beast for 20 years, and you've profited wildly from it, right? Sure. In terms of your Q rating and just everything. Like, we know, like, Rachel Nichols was literally, like, one of your mouthpieces for 2 decades, okay? We know this is a fact. This has come out.
And Jimmy Buckets,
absolutely, right? So, like, when you make friends in the media, and then, you know, you have an entire company that's basically a propaganda company for you and everything that you represent, you know, and then they start talking about you every single day. You know, you got guys like Stephen A. Smith that have every single day, whether he's playing or not, they talk about LeBron James. There's a relationship, and I probably would have said take it off to the side, off camera, whatever, but also like Stephen A. Smith, like you kind of bring this on upon yourself. If you're going to wear all white walking into arenas and having cameras and you're going to sit courtside and this, that, and the other, like if you're going to talk that talk, eventually someone's going to step to you. So I think there's a happy medium in all this. I didn't find it to be that big of a deal.
That's fine. Did you?
Way,
No, it was, again, I thought of the kid in all this. I thought about Bronny first and foremost because I am a father of two, Joe Shasky.
Yeah, but he's also signed up for this.
He did sign up for it.
You know?
But no, I'm more so talking about, like, I don't want my dad doing that on my behalf in public to an entity like
your
Stephen
dad
A. Smith
got
is.
You. He strong-armed you into, strong-armed the league into them drafting you and giving you the most guaranteed money in the history
of
second round.
But you know what it has in Joe Shasky? You're a coach. It has kind of my dad's talking to the coach after the game in front of everyone, and it's making me feel uncomfortable. Has that kind of energy.
Your dad got you drafted to the team. So, like it goes both ways. It's,
again,
like,
if I'm Bronny, I'm probably at home like, Dad, like, come on. Like it's fine. Like,
you can get me drafted in a ton of money,
Dad, you
but don't go defending me.
Well, you don't have to exactly. You don't have to protect me in all this. Like, I'm a big boy, too, in all this. I understand I'm your son, and you've helped me. Me being your son has helped me put in this position to be a part of this organization, be part of an NBA franchise. But also, like, you don't need to protect me all the time. Do you know what I do need to protect, though? It was Fast Five.
It's time for the Xfinity Fast Five. Your last chance to get in on the morning roast. Brought to you by Xfinity. Supercharge your home with supersonic Wi-Fi. Unbeatable internet. Only from Xfinity.
It's time for the Xfinity Fast Five as I am scrambling to pick up my read. I guess I don't really need to, as Bonte alludes to. Bonte Hill joined Guru at the top of the hour. Bonte and Guru from 10 to 2. You're not going to miss that. I'm actually not going to miss that that crosstalk with Mark Willard, too. That'll be fun. Brought to you by the Next Generation Tension Network.
Bonte only knows he's staying until 2:15.
Future starts now. That's going to be appointment radio. Can't wait.
1:55 is going to come around, and he's going to look up at the clock and just walk out.
Dude, I've had to do that shift, like, when they're on the last man standing, and I'm like, I've already done the 5 a.m. show, and then they ask me, can you do the 10 to 2? And then, can you do the 10 to, it's really 2:15. I was like, guys, I'm exhausted.
And Dibs comes in.
I've been up since 3 in the morning.
Willard comes in, and they got nothing, and they're looking at you to kind of start their show. Give me something.
Are you speaking from experience or something?
Yeah, we've all been there.
Oh, really?
Yeah, when the well runs dry.
The well's run dry for me right now. What do you got? Fast Five.
Here's what I've got. I don't care about LeBron. Here's what I care about. Steph Curry and the Warriors.
Okay.
Steph Curry and the Warriors are on fire right now, and Jimmy Butler's on fire. And even in my wildest dreams, I didn't think it would look this good. It's incredible how good it's looking. It's quite possibly one of the most shocking in-season trades I can remember. Like, Christian McCaffrey, we knew, like, if he just stays healthy, he's really good. I didn't know Jimmy would unlock all of this. I didn't know he had this much left in the tank. I didn't know he was this good. Like, there was a lot of I didn't knows. And wow, it's Mike Dunleavy. What a trade.
Could go down as the greatest trade. Could go down as the greatest trade in the history of Bay Area sports. Like, let's just call it what it is. Could go down that way. Carter, what you got?
Well, first of all, LeBron's pathetic for doing that last night, I think. Second of all, I think today we played a cut of Draymond praising Steph. I've really realized that I think that Steph loves Draymond for a different reason. It's not just the on-the-court stuff. It's this mental aspect that he has a guy who's always behind him, who's always going to be there telling him, you're great, you're the best to do it. Having that in your ear, I mean, think about what that does for your confidence all the time.
Like the guy in Rambo, if you send a bunch of people out there, you better get 100 body bags, because John Rambo's going to kill all of them.
Yeah, something like that.
You've never seen Rambo. You don't even know.
His job was to kill.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Period.
The guy was like the greatest hype man of all time.
Right. Well, it was his commander, like lieutenant or colonel or whatever in the Marines or wherever branch of the
Rambo military. Starts off dark.
Very dark. Well, there's a lot of undertones too. You know, post-traumatic PTSD. Stress, yes, all of that. Yes. You know, veterans, taking care of them. And there's bigger conversations there. I have a lot of family members and brothers who are veterans. And let's just take care of our vets. I think
Rambo
we can all agree on that. Yes.
Rambo 3, when they, I think it's Afghanistan, where he's tied up against like a giant bed mattress, and then he rips himself off it, takes this microphone thing and smashes dude in the face. Dude, Rambo's, I love Rambo.
I like the remake from like 2008 or 9, where it was like old, like Stallone, where he goes into Burma and just absolutely, it's called John Rambo, or it's just called Rambo. And he just,
okay,
check it out. Yeah, it's great. Yeah. Guys on a Barrett 50 cal just blowing people's heads off.
First Blood
great
is so sick.
Great entertainment, right, Sam?
So
good,
sick.
Good, clean family fun.
Oh, that's what we do here on the Morning Roast. My final thought is, Joe Shasky, I should not have yelled at you like I did last segment. I apologize for that. I got a little too carried away there.
I won't accept your apology.
Okay, we can talk about it. We can talk about it after the show. But, you know, I just want to throw that out there. And then my official final thought, Vlad Jr., 15 years, $600 million. He offered that. I guess the Blue Jays didn't.
What?
You didn't see that story yesterday?
I did. I missed it. What was it?
Oh, no. Like,
wait, he offered
it? 7 seconds left in the show.
No, you're fine.
Yeah, no, I guess he offered a deal that was just under $6 million. He came to the Blue Jays with that offer, and they couldn't get it done.
What's the deal?
15 years under $600 million. I don't know the specific
14.
Number.
Okay.
Sorry, 14
wow.
years.
14 years.
Yeah. But I would do that for the Giants.
Speaking of, my final thought's going to be shout out Lawrence Butler and the Athletics. Not Sacramento, not Oakland, not Las Vegas. They're just going by the Athletics. But Lawrence Butler agreed to a 7-year, $65.5 million extension. That's one of the young up-and-comers that you're going to be excited about watching in baseball. And you're going to watch him in Sacramento this year. I'll probably be driving up there, watching a few. Him, Brent Rooker. They got a fun team. Ace low-key might have action in the AL West, which is insane to say, but it's kind of a down division this year. That's all the time we got for today. Try to do better the next time. Bonte and Guru coming up next, and that's going to be brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you, here for good. And hold on, Carter. That was the Fast 5 brought to you by Xfinity. At home or on the go, you'll get the fastest internet to all your devices.
Yeah, sure thing. Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
StreetEasy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House of the Home Theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, StreetEasy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.